The Israelites are finally free after escaping the bondage of slavery. They're like us. We come out of the spring holy day seasons, and we have been freed by the blood of Christ. We put leaven out of our houses. We're on the path to perfection as far as maturity, spiritual maturity. And we're much like them. We go out with a high hand because Jesus Christ has paid the penalty for our sins and made a way possible for us to escape sin and ourselves. Now, when the children of Israel left Egypt, then something unusual happened. Pharaoh cornered them against the Red Sea. Notice what the children of Israel wanted to do. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. Now, in Exodus 12, we have the Passover. And Exodus 14, this occurs right after that. So Exodus 14, beginning to read in verse 8. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea besides Pi-Haroth, before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to God. They said to Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in this wilderness." So the children of Israel, they murmured when they saw Pharaoh, the chariots, and all of the armies of Egypt there cornering them against the sea, getting ready to take them back. And they thought it would have been better never to have left Egypt. Today we're going to look at some of the reasons we, and I include myself in this, we converted Christians sometimes want to go back to sin. Why we want to return to spiritual Egypt, back to bondage. We can be like the children of Israel. We're given freedom, we're released. God does all kinds of miracles to get us out of this world system. And after a while, after we've left Egypt, it becomes very easy for us to want to go back to our sinful lives, especially now, since we're a few weeks away, post-holy day season, the spring holy day season, post-Passover, and the days of unleavened bread, which picture out of sin. We came out of sin with a high hand, and now reality hits us. We're still dealing with a bunch of things. So why do some of us, and in the past some have done this, why do some return and go back to Egypt? Point number one, Satan is a tempter. He can make us believe sinning is better. Let's go to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2. And we're going to look at this principle as outlined in the scriptures. 2 Corinthians 11, beginning to read in verse 2. "For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." So Paul was telling the Corinthian brethren, "I'm trying to prepare you for the coming marriage supper of the Lamb. You're going to marry Christ." Verse 3. "But I fear, lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So what did Satan do? Which is an example for us to keep us from going back to sin. Eve was convinced by Satan that sinning would not lead to death. "Oh, you shall not surely die." Satan convinced Eve that following the way of sin would make one wise. Oh no, your eyes are going to be opened. You're going to be wise. You're going to understand things that, even maybe God doesn't understand. He, Satan, convinced Adam and Eve to disobey God and to eat of the fruit of the tree. Satan did to Eve to convince her not to follow God. And it is very evident that sometimes Satan is doing that in our life. He can convince us that, I know there's sin. I know that the Bible says that sin leads to death, but somehow that doesn't apply to me. It only applies to those other people over there. So Satan can convince us that sinning will not lead to death. If I sin, if I do this, it'll make me smarter. Somehow I'll become a better person. I learned so much living together with another person. Well, the only thing better than that is not to have lived with anybody. Then your mind wouldn't be tainted. But somehow, all the world and the people in the world, especially those that are, the movers and the shakers, they believe that their way of life is better. They've just been convinced that sin is going to make them better. And another thing that Satan does to us is he just convinces us to disobey for whatever reason. That's what you want to do? Who's going to tell you that that's not what you should do? So, Satan is a tempter. That's why some of us can easily be led back into sin. And that's why some of us who are here now are not here anymore. Because Satan tempted them. Point number two. Why is it so easy for us to go back into sin? Especially after the days of unleavened bread. We've been trying to pray more and study more and do things in a different way. And then we find out the following. Sin feels good. Oh man, it's just so pleasurable. It's just so good. Sin is easier. Sin is pleasurable. Sin feels good. We are carnal. Who are you to say that this is not right? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, the example of Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Young people. Anybody younger than 72? Young people. Sin can feel good. And if people tell you that sin isn't pleasurable, they're lying to you. Sin is very pleasurable, but it has consequences. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, next chapter, verse 24, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh was his uncle. Point number 25, excuse me, verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Let me tell you something, brethren. Sin is very pleasurable. If it wasn't so pleasurable, there wouldn't be so many people doing it. If every time you sinned, somebody hit you with a 2x4, you wouldn't sin after that. If it was automatic, you would say, you know what? I don't want to get hit by that 2x4. So I'm going to quit lying. I'm going to quit stealing. I'm going to quit whatever it is. But since that doesn't happen, and it's very pleasurable, it's very easy for us to get involved in sin. Sin is pleasurable. It is, however, temporary, and it leads to death. So one of the things that can throw a wrench in our trying to leave Egypt is the pleasures of sin. Be on guard against the pleasures of sin. Point number three, why would the children of Israel, why did they want to go back? Why do we sometimes want to go back? We want to go back because we're content with ourselves. I'm just happy the way I am. It's not me, it's everybody else. I'm content. We're content with ourselves. The Israelites were content with their life in Egypt. After they looked back on it, they said, you know what? That wasn't so bad. So what should we do? Don't become complacent with yourself. Really strive to overcome. Spend more time in prayer and study, drawing closer to God. Draw closer to the brethren in friendship and fellowship. Oh, I'm not comfortable around people. I'm sorry, brethren. That's not an option. God commands you to fellowship. God commands you to draw closer to the brethren. If you're not drawing closer to the brethren and fellowshipping, you're not doing what God wants. So what should we do to keep from getting back into sin? Is spend more time with God's people. You know, you begin to think, and let me be very careful here, put this in context. You begin to think the way people are that are around you. Have you ever noticed that the husband and the wife start thinking the same? That's not an accident. That's just part of being around another person. And so if you're around people that are doing good, trying to overcome sin, you are going to take on those characteristics. If you're around people that are, you know, just not doing things right, you're going to start thinking like them. So get rid of the old habits, draw closer to God, fellowship, draw closer to brethren and friendship. Another thing we can do is to keep from becoming content with ourselves is get rid of those old habits and those sins that have been bothering you. Get rid of them. You know, in the days of unleavened bread, we learned to clean house physically, removing leavening. We're now on the other side of that. And we got rid of all the leavening. We started off with a high hand. We were praying and studying a little bit more, doing this and that. And now, a few weeks later, this is difficult. Brethren, don't give up. Get rid of those old habits, those old sins. Clean spiritual house. And let me tell you something, brethren. I'm giving you all kinds of advice. You can't do it alone. You cannot do it alone. If you're trying to do this, you know, reading self-help books about how to become a better person, you know, watching television or watching computer programs about, you know, how to be friendlier, unless you put God into the picture by asking him to help you, it's not going to work. So don't forget to use God. Don't do it by yourself. You can't. Now, let's go back to Exodus chapter 14, and I want to read you what the solution to the problem with the children of Israel being entrapped by Pharaoh and his chariots. Let's go back to Exodus 14 where we were. And I didn't read you all of the verses. I just read you part of the verses. Let me read you the rest of that verse that we were looking at. Exodus chapter 14. And look at verse 12 where we left off. Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in this wilderness. You know what the answer was? The next verse. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still. You don't have to do anything in this instance. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. Let God take care of your problems, brethren. It still requires effort, still requires you to set the alarm and wake up to study and pray. You know, God's not going to set the alarm for you, but involve God the Father and Jesus Christ in your struggles to get rid of sin. Israel thought that serving Pharaoh would be better than serving God. Egypt was better than the promised land, they thought. They forgot God's role in their leaving of Egypt, which is sin. God worked wonders, brethren, to get them out of Egypt. He will do the same thing in your life if you let God help you to eliminate the sins and the pulls of this fleshly life, that we must be doing his will. He promises to save us. You know, it doesn't depend on us. He promises to save us. In conclusion, we must not let sin deceive us. We must march out of sin, cast it out of our lives, and get rid of Egypt and flee Egypt. And if we do God's will, the Red Sea is going to open up before us, and God is going to create a path which we can walk through. He'll lead us to the other side, into the promised land. Don't be a slave to sin.